Thanks for joining us. You can always catch the latest sermon online, but we sure would love to see you join us in person to celebrate and support each other in our love for God, our neighbors, and this church. We are South Britain Congregational Church. No matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. And now, enjoy another great Sunday sermon, and we hope to see you soon.
Our second scripture reading comes from 2 Kings chapter 2, 1 through 14. Now, when the Lord was about to take Elijah up to heaven by a whirlwind, Elijah and Elisha were on their way from Gilgal. And Elijah said to Elisha, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me as far as Bethel." But Elisha said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they went down to Bethel, and the sons of the prophets who were in Bethel came out to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he said, "Yes, I know it. Keep it quiet." Elijah said to him, "Elisha, please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to Jericho." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So they came to Jericho, and the sons of the prophets who were at Jericho drew near to Elisha and said to him, "Do you know that today the Lord will take away your master from over you?" And he answered, "Yes, I know it. Keep quiet." Then Elijah said to him, "Please stay here, for the Lord has sent me to the Jordan." But he said, "As the Lord lives and as you yourself live, I will not leave you." So the two of them went on. 50 men of the sons of the prophets also went and stood at some distance from them, as they both were standing by the Jordan. Then Elisha took his cloak and rolled it up and struck the water, and the water was parted to one side and to the other, till the two of them could go over on dry land. When they crossed, Elijah and Elisha asked, "What I shall do for you before I'm taken from you?" And Elisha said, "Please let there be a double portion of your spirit on me." And he said, "You have asked a hard thing, yet if you see me as I am being taken away from you, it shall be so. But if you do not see me, it shall not be so." And as they still went on and talked, behold, chariots of fire and horses of fire separated the two of them. And Elijah went up by a whirlwind into heaven. And Elisha saw, and he cried, "My father, my father, the chariots of Israel and its horsemen." And he saw him no more. And he took a hold of his own clothes and tore them in two pieces. He took up the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and went back and stood on the bank of the Jordan. He took the cloak of Elijah that had fallen from him and struck the water, saying, "Where is the Lord, the God of Elijah?" And when he struck the water was parted on the one side to the other, and Elisha went over. I went to a convenience store, and I was dragging a little bit energy-wise, so as you may know, I decided this time, and I haven't done this for a while, because people have been a very good influence on me here, but my favorite drink is Mountain Dew, yes. Mountain Dew is my favorite, and so I went up, and I was like, I'm going to get, you know, this is when I was drinking Mountain Dew, I know, you know, I'm trying to be good. And so I went up and I bought Diet Mountain Dew, which I know is worse than the regular. Okay, we'll talk about all this stuff later. So I brought up a Diet Mountain Dew, and I'm going up to the counter, and the young person behind the counter said, "You know, those are 2-for-1. You would have thought I won the Powerball. I was like, "No, really?" And they're like, "Yes." And I was like, "Really?" And they're like, "Yes." And that went on for about 5 minutes. And I was like, because, you know, who doesn't love a good deal? What is I supposed to do? 2-for-1? How can I not take that? I feel like I'm stealing it, right? That's how good of a deal it feels like. Well, this passage this morning records the going home of one of the greatest people in the Word of God. Elijah was greatly used by God in his life, in his time, his generation. But his time on earth had come to an end. The day had come when it was time to pass the baton to the next generation. And our text tells us about the young man whose name was Elisha. It's hard. Elijah and Elisha sound pretty similar. So when you're reading it, I tried to pronounce it as clearly. But Elisha went from being, he was a plowman working in the fields, to being a prophet of the Lord. He was a man hungry for all that God would give him. And Elisha wanted the Lord and his power in his life. So Elisha to Elijah, before he goes on his amazing fire chariot up into heaven, says, "Double it up for me. 2 for the price of 1. Not soda, not Mountain Dew, but he wants God's spirit. He wants double of God's spirit that Elijah had. And so this morning, I want us to look at this request and how Elisha wanted to obtain this double portion of the spirit that his mentor had. This passage shows us, teaches us, in order to get more and more of God's Spirit in our lives and God's Spirit into the ministries that we do, we have to want it. So like it did for Elijah, the mantle of ministry in these days rests upon you and me alike. If we're going to be as effective as we can in bringing glory to the Lord, then we need the power of God's Spirit, and we should want double the Spirit too. And I like the story in Elijah. You know, we're tested at each step of the journey, because each step along the way, Elijah would say, and I know in the Hebrew it always kind of repeats, but he says, Elijah basically says, stay here. You know, you don't want to go, you know, stay here. Don't go any further. And Elijah, in so many words, says, there's no way I'm stopping on my spiritual journey. I want all that you've got. I want all the power you have and more. I want to be in the same relationship to God that you have. And so for our framework for this morning, I want us to look at, there's four places that they go on their on the way to this fire chariot taking up into heaven moment. They go to Gilgal, they go to Bethel, Jericho, and the Jordan. And each one is significant in Israel's history, and it was not by accident that they stop at each of these places. These are not layovers on a trip that happened by accident, but they're intentional stops about getting closer to God and getting more of God's Spirit. Each one has an aspect that we need to incorporate into our spiritual lives if we want to be candidates for a double portion of God's Spirit. So the first stop is Gilgal. And what happened at Gilgal? If you went to Gilgal in the days of the Israelites, you'd see, it's pretty exciting, a pile of rocks. I know you can see that in a lot of places around. Yeah, but it's a very specific pile of rocks. In Joshua 3 and 4, God parted the Jericho River so the army could cross over on the dry land. And as they were going across, Joshua had them pick up 12 boulders, one for each tribe, and they piled them on the bank as a sign, as a reminder of the miracle that God was performing. This was so that their descendants, when they heard about it, would see these 12 boulders and they would believe in God. So it was a witness to the fact that God is alive and to remember what God has done for us. And that's what we need to in our lives in order to grow. We need to know that God is alive. These stones were a reminder that they saw it, that God is alive. And some people think God's dead or he doesn't do marvels anymore. But Gilgal teaches us that in our life of faith, we need to build reminders. We need to build, have these monuments to remember what God has done and the critical things in our life of faith. I don't mean get stones, but you can. We need to have those things in our life to be able to look at and say, oh, I remember when God did this. So it doesn't have to be a big thing. It doesn't have to be somebody walk in and see, oh, I know what that is. That's, you know, your little altar to remember who God is. But it's something that you can look at and say, ah, I look at it and I remember, because we forget like Israel so fast. So part of growing, part of doubling our spiritual life is remembering over and over the great things that God has done in our life. Trinkets, pictures, whatever it may be. Anything that we can look at and say, I remember when God came through in a big way for us as a family, for me as a person, or whatever. It's like restaurants, you know, where you go in and you, the first time I walked in, it's like there's a $20 bill like framed on the wall. And I was like, you should just spend that. And they're like, oh, that was it. You know, and I didn't know. It's, what is it for? It's the first money they made, right? What did they put it up there? So they remember where they started. Right? And it's the same thing with our life of faith. We need those reminders to help us remember all these different things. Part of this is realizing that the all-powerful creator of the universe cares about us, speaks into our day-to-day decisions. God is alive and moving by the power of his Spirit every moment. So Gilgal reminds us to simply but importantly remember. And the next stop, Bethel, or Bethel, you know, near Danbury. Which is all about desiring God's presence. Elijah said to Elijah, stay here, the Lord has sent me to Bethel. But Elijah said, as surely as the Lord lives, I won't leave you. Kal-El is Superman's name, okay? But Bethel means the house of God. Beth means house and El means God. So God's house. So in Genesis 28, Jacob left home, stopped at this location, and he used a pillow. He slept on a pillow for, you know, a rock for a pillow. It's called the Hard Rock Hotel. I got to get a lot of them in today. And he had a dream of an angel visiting him, and he awoke and called it. And he woke up after wrestling with God. He's like, oh, we're going to call this place Bethel. We're going to call this the house of God. And it was at Bethel where Jacob wrestled God, and God revealed himself to him. Bethel was one of the three regular places Samuel went to each year. During the time of Judges, Bethel was where the Ark of the Covenant was kept. So in order to go deeper into our life, to double up this spirit, we must seek God's presence. We must go to this Beth-El, the house of God. What does that mean for us? Like we talked about, it's not just church. This place is a sanctuary, a building. God can and cannot be found here. The house of God is a mental state more than an actual place. God inhabits the praise of God's people. So wherever God is being praised, that is Beth-El. Sure, there are places that speak to us, that allow us to get into this the headspace or allow us to connect with the divine. But God dwells in each of us. So no matter where we go, we are also the Beth-El. We are the houses of God. And we've known times where we really understood this. But what can happen is sometimes our tendency is to accept less than to dwell in the house of God. Our friends convinced their daughter, and I thought this was brilliant, that yogurt was called ice cream, right? So they were like, every time they'd be like, oh, do you want some ice cream? And they'd give them yogurt until the kid actually had ice cream. And she came home yelling, you liars. And so are we in our spiritual life settling for yogurt when we can have the real house of God? God is constantly calling us into his presence, into relationship. We can have, but we can have it, but do we accept less? Is good enough good enough, or are we hungry for more? Do we really, truly, and honestly, deeply desire God's presence? Gilgal reminds us to remember, and Bethel reminds us to seek the presence of God. But the next stop was Jericho, which is all about trusting God. If we want to grow in our faith, we have to trust God more and more. The significance of Jericho, Jericho was the final battle the Israelites faced. It had huge walls, right? Everyone know the song? And the walls came a-tumbling down, right? 2,000 years old, it was thought to be invincible, like Troy, right, with its walls, where no one had ever conquered it. And God asked the Israelites to do something to defeat to get into the city, to win over Jericho. He didn't say, anything else, but he said, you blow the horns on that seventh day, you go around and around in a circle, blow horns, and then the walls will tumble. You know, it's like, that's not a military strategy at all. I'm not a military scholar, but that doesn't sound like a good idea. But they did it. They marched around and each day, and then they blew the horns, and the walls came tumbling down. So what good would it do to win a battle like that? God can do anything. God could float them in and throw them in into the walls. He could make them be able to walk through walls. He could do anything he wants to. Why walk around and blow horns and do these different things? It taught them that they had to trust God. This can be hard for us. We can say we trust God, but when push comes to shove, do we really trust? We trust in ourselves, our family, our money, our talents to get us through, but it's God that's the sole object of our trust. Do we trust that God loves us, wants good stuff for us as a caring, loving parent? This will help us grow. It helps us double up. If we can really let our hearts and minds believe this resounding fact, it will grow. When Hudson Taylor went to China, he made the voyage on a sailing vessel, and as they got to the southern Malay Peninsula in Sumatra, the missionary heard an urgent knock on the door, and he opened it up, and the captain said, Mr. Taylor, we have no wind. We're drifting toward an island where the people are cannibals, and they're going to eat us. What can I do? Taylor said. He said, I understand that you believe in God. I want you to pray for wind. And he says, all right, captain, I will, but you have to set the sails. And the captain said, that is ridiculous. There's not even the slightest breeze. Besides, the sailors will think that I'm crazy. But finally, because of Taylor's insistence, he agreed. 45 minutes later, he returned to find the missionary still on his knees. And the captain said, you can stop praying now. We got more wind than we know what to do with. Hudson Taylor trusted, but more than that, he knew that you had to set the sails to show that you trusted. That's what we have to do in our life. We have to have the sails set, knowing and trusting that God's going to produce the wind. Gilgal reminds us to remember, and Beth-El reminds us to seek the presence. Jericho teaches us to trust. And finally, anybody remember the last place? I know it's been going on a while. The Jordan. Jordan's furniture? No. The Jordan River. And it reminds us of the greatest aspect that is over and over again in Scripture, over and over again in this Scripture. The thing that helps us grow most in the Spirit is just willingness. Building on trust, saying we're willing to say yes to what God calls us to. Deuteronomy 11:8 says, observe therefore all the commands I'm giving you today. that you may have the strength to go in and take over the land that you are crossing the Jordan to possess. Machiavelli said, where the willingness is great, the difficulties cannot be great. Like Israel entering the promised land, willing to trust and go into this new land, this new place, the Jordan River represents willingness. That is the most impressive, amazing thing in our life of faith. The heroes of the faith, the ones that God wants us, all had one thing in common. They were the coalition of the willing. Noah had the choice of building the ark or not building the ark, and he did. Moses stood before a burning bush and said yes to God, even though it put him back in danger going to Egypt. Mary said yes with a beautiful answer, "My soul magnifies the Lord." The disciples said yes, even though it meant danger, deprivation, and persecution. They said yes, even though it meant leaving everything behind. Mother Teresa could have lived a very rewarding, comfortable life in a Polish convent, but God asked her to consider another path, which led her to the poorest of poor in India. He didn't command her to go there, but he asked her, and she said yes. Great things only happened in this history of faith by regular, normal people saying yes, being willing to go and do what God's called them to do. Willingness is the only prerequisite of an application on your resume for following God. This can be easy and hard, but it is far and away the most important thing. So who wants to double up today? We need to take these steps along the path, remembering them, moving them into our practices daily, remembering what God has done, seeking moment after moment to be in the presence of God in Bethel, growing in trust in God in big and small ways, learning to hand over things more and more into God's hands. And finally, that trust, showing that trust by being willing to say yes when God calls. And in doing these things, we'll be amazed at what God does through and with us. Amen. Amen.